The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Tuesday, the 20th of October, 2020, 10-20-2020, T-minus 2 weeks to go. Oh, my brain is full. My heart is full. I got a lot of things to share. As a show gets going, we're together every morning, 7 to 10. And if you check in at, you know, 8:15, 8:45, 9:22, blah, 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 things are moving. They're grooving. I'm being driven by where the news events of the morning are going, where the calls have taken me, stuff that pops into my head, things on the TV box, et cetera, et cetera. Every day in the quiet of the sort of the pre-dawn here, I'm just sort of bouncing around inside my own head. And let me tell you where I'm going with that. Yesterday, as we began the week, I laid out a lot of nuts and bolts of the factors of my feelings and my gut feeling of how the election is going to go. I gave you a lot of reasons for optimism, a lot of reasons why on paper it's a Trump win and it's not that close, but we don't do elections on paper. There are a lot of mitigating and complicating circumstances, especially this year. And I bogged down in a lot of those things, a lot of deep analysis, a lot of reasons how this could, why this thing might go well and why something else might not go so well, blah, blah, blah. And then something happened last night. I was talking to Lisa. We were just talking about things and talking about how deeply we're going to involve ourselves in prayer in these last 2 weeks. And an odd, or maybe not so odd, peace came over me. And I'm going to tell you why, and maybe it will be of benefit to you. Now, we have a big political news story this morning. The debates continue day after tomorrow, Thursday night. Kristen Welker of NBC will moderate. And I don't know if she's got a button that she will hold to mute the participants, by participants meaning Trump, or if it'll just be a default setting. But the bottom line is that as each candidate gets a question, I mean, the question is A, B, or C, and then it goes either to President Trump or Vice President Biden. And they go for 2 weeks, Freudian, it seems like 2 weeks. They go for 2 minutes uninterrupted, supposedly. Well, that didn't exactly happen in debate number one, obviously. And that was to the chagrin of many. So what we have now, and I think this might be a little overreacted, a little, because I think what's going to happen is if, let's say, it goes to Trump first for the first question, the Biden mic will be muted for the 2 minutes of the Trump response. Yeah, so okay. But if Biden gets the question first, the Trump mic will be muted for those 2 minutes. Now, it doesn't mean there will not be any free interchange or that Kristen Welker is going to sit there and go, "Shut up, Orange Man," one presumes. This may not be that big a deal at all. And in a weird way, quite frankly, might help him. Because the desire, the spinal arc of you hear something and you just got to react right now, right now, right now. It that was not helpful in debate number one. We're sitting there, you know, in all of our Trump ardor at home going, "Sir, you're killing me a little bit. Just let Joe talk. He will hang himself in a matter of seconds. It, you know, let the game come to you." So the big story is that mics will be muted when it when you don't have the talking stick. When it's the other guy's 2 minutes, your mic will be muted. The first thing that occurs to me is it's going to be a pretty quiet room, and if Joe says something unconscionable, you're going to hear Trump anyway. You're going to hear him through Biden's mic, Kristen Welker's mic. You're going to hear Trump if he wants to put in some sharp aside in there somewhere. So, you know, so that's the big thing. That's the big, and it shows up as a rebuke of the president, which everybody's going to love. I think he'll do fine. In fact, I think Thursday night's going to be a very, very good night for the president. I think that he is, because when his mic is on, he is going to bludgeon Joe Biden with Ukraine, Burisma, China, Hunter, the laptop. And that's another thing I've come to some peace with. Yesterday and for the last week or so, I've kind of been wringing my hands a little bit. Oh, is this our time best spent? Shouldn't we be talking about agendas and constitutionalist justices and strong borders and a strong economy and not, you know, putzing around so much with Hunter Biden's laptop? You know what? Do it. Do it. Do it all. Life is long. Life is long. The days are long. The remaining days of the campaign is not a really long period. It's 2 weeks, but that's 2 weeks. Well, it's not binary. The president can make his case for his agenda. The president can talk about the positives of his first 4 years, and he can absolutely still also club Joe Biden over the head with his unresponsiveness to a completely valid blockbuster news story about corruption involving him and his son and money from other countries. So knock yourself out, sir. Do it. Absolutely. I am at peace with that. I guess it's just the stakes are so high and it's so important that sometimes that can fray your nerves. It can make you okay, we got to do this, we got to do that. And that's been a part of, I mean, I got 3 hours on the radio every day. I'm going to do some analysis. And as I move forward in these last 2 weeks, there's some things I'm going to focus on and some things I just don't think I'm going to obsess about at all. And I'm going to, I slept like a baby, woke up every 2 hours crying. It's an old Rodney Dangerfield line. No, I slept so well. I mean, I always sleep well, please. But it's I'll get to that in a second. In fact, since it has a lot to do with God, we might as well talk to him as we do each morning at this time. Lord, we ask you today for wisdom and for goodwill. The wisdom to navigate our problems from COVID-19 to social strife to political differences. Fill us with the energy to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives in the virus era. We pray for success for the minds who are working every day to help us get a safe vaccine. Let us lift up those people whose lives and livelihoods have been sidelined by shutdowns and restrictions. Help us find smart solutions to our social ills as troublemakers seek to divide us. Amid these divisions, let's treat each other with respect and patience as we work together on the list of things that really should be changed, but to resist those people who would opportunistically destroy huge parts of our history and our culture. Remind us, Almighty God, that in the most challenging of times, you are always here to unite us, to follow your guidance, to treat each other as we would like to be treated. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So, what is this epiphany? And there are two reasons. Well, there are a couple of reasons I know that this smacks of wisdom. One is just feels right in my head and my heart. My wife approves, and so does Mike. I had a nice chat with Uncle Mike last night about on a number of subjects. And so I know some of what we're going to cover at 7:35, and we'll compare notes on a wide variety of things here at T-minus 2 weeks. But here we go. If you were listening yesterday at this time, or I guess a smattering of shows I did last week, I was doing so much unpacking, so much deep analysis of this factor and that factor, and this could happen, but that could happen. And, you know, which, by the way, is fine. That's kind of what I do for a living. But I was immersed in the notion that there is something keeping me from just a total flat out there prediction that says Trump wins and it's not that close. Did that in 2004, Bush and Kerry. Happened, thank goodness. I didn't think Obama was going to win. Whoops. In 2008. So, you know, you ride the tide, and it's easy. It's very easy, by the way, to get caught up in the prediction game. But I sort of made it about me. What should I say to you? What kind of analysis should I deliver? And so yesterday, I really went into great detail on this, saying, oh, here the reasons why Trump should win are many. They are many. His base totally energized. Biden campaign, a disaster. Economy on the way back. The Democratic Party wildly swinging leftward. There's ample reasons to believe the president wins, and it's not that close. However, I said, as crazy liberals, they're a caged, wounded animal, and they could be dangerous. They could rise up. Their passion could be burning pretty hot, too. In this COVID crazy era, a lot of people could have foggy brains and just frustrations like, we haven't gotten rid of it yet. We need a new president. And that could screw us up. The race baiting and the dishonest media. I mean, we're pretty well on to them, but you know how many million inattentive, low information voters are out there who could just go, Trump's bad, vote Biden. So add all those things up, and that those are the reasons Biden could win. And by the way, everything, all that I just said is true. But what am I going to do with that? What's my best? Should I sit here and have that burn a hole in my, in my gut? Should I sit here and navel gaze and wring my hands and tell you all kinds of reasons why this could go horribly bad 2 weeks from now? No. Not going to do it. Here's what I'm going to do. And it's really just, it's a massive retooling of my approach. It's just a matter of what to focus on and what not to focus on. Those reasons why the president should win, they are real. And I believe them in my heart. And I'm going to give them voice every day. Now, speaking of giving people voice, your calls to me may come in total agreement with things I say, may come in total disagreement with things I say. That will never change. I love hearing from people, who completely disagree with me about everything. There's love in the room, and I appreciate you guys. But I'll tell you what, I'm putting it in God's hands. I'm putting it in God's hands. And by that, whenever people say that, a lot of people go, oh, that means you're not supposed to do anything. Just put it in God's hands. Oh, no. I'm putting it in God's hands and hitting my knees in prayer every day for this Trump win, knowing that so many of you will take 10 people with you to the polls. You will call your friends in Ohio, your family in Florida, your acquaintances in Pennsylvania, and tell them to do the same, because that's where this election will be won or lost. You will do that. Do I know full well, it like I know 2 + 2 = 4? Do I know that it will result in a Trump win November 3rd? I do not. But when do I ever know exactly how things are going to go? I don't. I'm leaving it in God's hands. And that means that if I do so, and I have done my best and spoken what's in my heart and told you the reasons I believe we can win and the reasons why you should help that along, that no matter what happens, that it's God's will. And if I get specifically what I have prayed for, I'll be so grateful. And if I don't, I'll be grateful anyway. That's the real counterintuitive thing. Whether it's the health of a loved one, a business teetering on the brink, an election that you really want to go one way and not the other, and you pray about all the above, and it doesn't go, the specific thing you prayed for doesn't happen, do you distance from God, run away from God, curse God, figure he's not listening to you? No, you do not. So I'm going to cross that bridge when I get to it. On the morning of November 4th, and please let's use that as a figure of speech, presuming we know how this goes on November 4th and we're not wallowing through all of this, you know, through Thanksgiving and Christmas. The days between now and the election, I'm going to fill with positivity and godliness and clarity as I see it. Let you folks call me with things that may agree or disagree or anything in between. What I'm not going to do anymore is bog down on, the liberals are mad. I'm sure they are. Everybody's confused by the COVID. You know they are. No. Guess what? Those factors exist. Let's overcome them. The left is mad. They will turn out. Let's turn out more. The COVID has turned a bunch of people's brains to fog. Let's give them clarity. Biden's up in the polls. Let's prove the polls wrong again. Let's do this. Now, a couple quick things. We'll pause. 866-660-5759. I don't know if this is a direct result, but it might have been part of it. Because a fellow broadcaster, I say friend, I've hung out with him probably 7 or 8 times. We're well aware of each other, and I was certainly part of his operation for the 4 years that I filled in on his show. I was listening to the opening segment of yesterday's Rush Limbaugh show, in which he shared a health update, and it was not good. It was diagnosed some months ago with stage 4 terminal lung cancer. That usually doesn't go so well. It's a question not of if, but when. Do miracles happen? Yes, they do. Are we praying for one? We are. Did some treatments work pretty well to the point of stopping the advance of the disease and even putting it into retreat? Yes, indeed, in some recent weeks. The most recent scans show some advancement of the disease. When he's on the air, he sounds great and energetic and like there's nothing the matter with him. When he's not there, which is often, it's because the chemo is just kicking his butt 6 ways to Sunday. And he said that. And he also said, I'm not going to do updates every day and do, 3 hours of cancer on the radio. I'm just not going to do that. But it'd been a while, so here's the deal. We're going to tweak the treatment because there is some progression of the lung cancer. And then he said, I'm at peace. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it gives me strength and it gives me comfort. And it really makes you familiar with the things that are beyond your control. What's in your control is how you feel, how you react, how obedient you are, how you approach life's challenges. And he said it can be scary knowing that there are things that you just can't, do anything about. But there's also a certain comfort when you surrender those things to God. And I got to tell you, listening to that opening Limbaugh segment yesterday, that might have informed a lot of what I've just told you about the election, a far lesser issue. I don't know. Whatever it is, message got to me yesterday, and I am at peace. I am at peace knowing that all kinds of things may go exactly the way I want, and other things really may go 180 degrees opposite from what I want. And you know what? No matter what happens, God's in control. I am here. I got the best family in the world. I have my health. I got this show. I got y'all. I'm in Texas. I got friends I work with. I have more blessings than I can possibly count. So let's do this. Final thing. Apparently the Cowboys sucked in 10 languages last night. I didn't see it, and I'm apparently out for the rest of the season. Many of you may be as well, because they're just terrible. What, 38-10 to the medium-quality Cardinals? It's over. And I don't mean the season record. I mean me watching these games, because I've held out hope that maybe Jerry Jones would remember, I do call it America's team. Maybe I should make everybody stand for the anthem. Nope, that's not going to happen. This Dontari Poe. Now, not only is he being tolerated, he's being celebrated. WFAA had a big old thing. Oh, Dontari Poe, who's one of our defensive linemen, has this foundation, a foundation that shows kids how to be entrepreneurs. That's great. And I'll be prepared to be excited about that when Dontari Poe stops showing kids how to hate on the American flag. Little turnstile I got to walk through. stop hating on the American flag, and then I can get all moist and mushy about your foundation that helps kids learn how to be entrepreneurs. Okay, it's like a flowchart. You take care of this, and then I'll get on board for that. Now, not only is Jerry tolerating it, not only is it being tolerated, it's being celebrated as the dominant local media culture sucks up to this, and they do not care that you hate it. Dontari Poe doesn't care that you hate it. Jerry Jones doesn't care that you hate it. Channel 8 doesn't care that you hate it. Oh, it's so great. He's protesting racism. We all oppose racism, all right? That's been the problem with this entire dog and pony show of Black Lives Matter, stuff on the NBA jerseys, crap written in the end zones, et cetera. That's been the whole problem, is we've been all treated like evil children that must be scolded by the LeBron Jameses of this world because we're a racist hellhole of a country. It's a lie, and I've had it. And you know, I've long since had it with players kneeling for the national anthem. So Cowboys may improve, they may not. My ability to care is gone. Okay, ready for the rest of the Tuesday show? Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. It is 727.
Baby, look out your window. It's raining on your summer home. You by the fire, keep you warm.
Today would have been Tom Petty's 70th birthday. This one still hurts. I mean, I know we've had the big deaths of life. You're John Lennon, you're Stevie Ray Vaughan, I know. Petty and the Heartbreakers from Hard Promises and Letting You Go. Yeah, that might be the story here. Lisa and I were at the American Airlines Center April 22nd, 2017 for Petty's last swing through here. He died some months later. And look, it's just one of the best live shows I've ever seen. It's the soundtrack of my love story with her. And so on what would have been Petty's 70th birthday, you're going to hear a lot of Petty. Maybe not all the huge hits. I'll let you do those on your own time. But some deeper things that I love, and some stuff just released as a special reissue of Wildflowers, an album from the early 90s. So we're going to do a little Tom Petty birthday celebration today. We're going to celebrate our chat together with Mike, and let's do that. Let's get to that. And in order to do that, we walk into the newsroom and spend some time well-observed with Gordon Griffin, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Here's Gordon. There had been such a thing as Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers for like 15 years. Then Tom started putting out solo albums. The first album was Full Moon Fever, 1989. I won't back down. And, you know, you can tell me about the polls, and you can tell me about how, you know, the left is all caged and wounded. I mean, I know it. I've said it. I say it all the time. I'm not going to obsess about those things, and I want to, for the 5,000th time, publicly and privately, thank my buddy Mike Gallagher. We talked last night, and it just put my head so right. It was just a magnificent chat. It always is. We faced obstacles in 2016. Life is going to be filled with obstacles. I am putting my head down and plowing 2 weeks and put it in God's hands, and doggone it, I think we're going to win.
Well, you lifted me up last night. I appreciated your optimistic spirit. I truly believe we're going to win, and we have to know that no matter what happens in 2 weeks, God's got this, and we just have to keep remembering we can do the best we can every single day, strap on the armor, be warriors for the police, be warriors for the military, be warriors for constitutional conservatism. Do the right thing and continue to represent, because there are people driving around in North Texas and all over the country who are listening to us and who are making a decision right now. I don't know that they're going to be influenced by, for example, USA Today this morning announcing that for the first time in their history, they're going to endorse a candidate for president. They've never done it before. Three guesses as to who they endorsed.
Ooh.
You know? Yeah. Now, I don't know that that's a game changer, but since USA Today announced they're going to endorse Joe Biden for president, I don't know that that affects a guy driving a truck in Arkansas listening to talk radio. Yeah. But when he hears you and me and others like us talk about factual things that are occurring in real time, make the case for why Trump deserves 4 more years. Make the case that even John Cornyn should get a little bit of grace. What in the heck is Senator Cornyn doing throw in some shade and throw in Trump under the bus with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram now. Mark, you know the guy. You've interviewed him. I've interviewed him. I like him. What are they trying to do? Send a message that we're going to run for cover in case the election doesn't go the way? That's the opposite of what you and I talked about doing last night.
Precisely. For those that don't know, Cornyn has said he's been telling, sharing some background on the relationship with Trump. And he revealed himself as being somebody who thought maybe that Trump would change, or that he could be changed, or even that he should be changed, and that doesn't always go so well. The great thing about Cornyn over the years, and I've said that Trump makes everybody better. He's made Cornyn better, made Mitch McConnell better. He's just made so many people better with the ears to hear and the heart to absorb. But now, for some bizarre reason, and we still need to deliver him a double-digit win over MJ Agar, but doggone it, there's this feeling like he's somehow got a kind of distance. Well, you know, I wasn't really on board as much with the border wall. Oh, that helps the conservative base. I don't get it, Mike. I think it's the desire to have it both ways, which is a deep part of human nature. I've spent 4 years talking about how I much prefer Cornyn since 2016 to Cornyn before that, and it's just not smart to erode that. He's still going to win. Still love him. I still have confidence in him in a Trump second term. But wow, I don't understand people sometimes.
Well, Trump won't forget it. I can promise you that. So it's, I think, a miscalculation. It's like you said, it's not helpful. There's nothing gained by it other than to give the salivating mainstream media an opportunity to point to John Cornyn of Texas as a Republican who is throwing Trump under the bus 2 weeks before the election. Now, it's not that bad. You know, I saw the article and I saw his quotes. But it isn't necessary.
No, what was wrong? I mean, the conservatives and I'd been telling them this. I said, and people go, "Oh, Cornyn's an establishment weasel." I say that is so 2015. Just look at how the guy's been so much better. He's on board. He's smelled the coffee. He knows what's going on. Evidence to the contrary is not helpful.
Well, and here's the argument I heard last night about Senator Cornyn on Fox. I think it was Tucker. Maybe it was somebody else. But the analysis was, you're seeing establishment kind of swamp creatures reveal who they are. They're not used to the normalcy being upended.
I know,
like this.
I know.
So I got an idea, Senator Cornyn. Focus on this lack of normalcy. We've got a presidential election in 2 weeks. One of the candidates is hiding in the basement all week. Joe Biden has called a lid on the entire week. He's not going to emerge from his Wilmington, Delaware basement, Mark, until the debate Thursday night.
That's right.
Mark, you think that's normal? You think that 2 weeks before an election, he began campaigning. He puts on, and I'm sorry to giggle at this, but two masks.
I know, when one's not enough.
I don't see anybody wearing two masks. Why don't you wear five?
Why don't you
just seriously put on that big space helmet? So he's got two masks on, but he is campaigning. They're brutal campaign events. You got 11 people.
Yep.
You got Trump supporters honking and yelling at him in the background. I mean, they're not great appearances. But nonetheless, he's gone. He's out on the trail. Not this week,
you know,
Mark.
What? Real quick, I do have one final thing about Cornyn.
Okay.
He's on the show at 9:05.
Well, you got to ask him.
I
hope. Good.
I love him. There's love in the room.
You
got to
ask him.
I totally will at 9:05.
You got to ask him why he thinks he would do this. And you've got.
Yep.
And you know what I would do? I may help you. I'll send you the clip of Tucker Carlson railing against him last night, so you can play that for him and see how he'll respond. I mean, honestly, if I may be so bold, I hope you'll ask him that there's a perception that establishment politicians deeply, deeply resent the Donald Trump presidency.
Yep.
Are you in that category?
Because
I think that's a fair thing to ask.
Totally.
There's got has to be a reason why he would say such a thing.
I don't know, man.
I don't get it.
I'll tell you what it's not. He doesn't think he's about to get Beto'd. This MJ Hagar is not Beto. He is in zero risk of losing. So
Even more the reason he should be on board.
That's
even more
right.
The reason he should be helpful to millions of people, including many, many Texans who are out there fighting for every vote, fighting to get this Trump agenda accomplished in another 4 years, fighting for Cornyn, fighting for Republicans up and down. down the ballot all across the country. You don't sit down with the Star Telegram editorial board of all places and suddenly decide you're going to throw Trump under the bus 2 weeks before the election. It's maddening. And I'm really curious to hear your conversation, because if anybody can handle this with skill, diplomacy, and tact, it'll be my buddy Mark Davis. And I'm going to play your, if you, with your permission, I'm going to play it on my show. Yeah, I'll play it later in the day, because people are fired up about it. But seriously, can you imagine? You know that Biden is absolutely hiding from the Hunter Biden story.
Exactly. To go back to where you were 2 minutes ago, didn't mean to interrupt, but I want to throw that in. Cornyn at 9:05. The reason Joe Biden's not out, usually the reason is because he's a gaffe machine, something embarrassing might happen. Now he is noticing the occasional reporter might actually ask him about his son and the laptop and Ukraine and the corruption, and he clearly has no answer. No answer.
Well, I know a guy who is getting ready to ask Joe Biden about Hunter Biden's laptop.
Oh, yeah?
I know a man who will be going right at him in about, two nights. It'll be a debate.
Yes, it will.
And I know a man who is not going to let this thing die.
Nope.
I mean, right now, if you saw Biden, did you see that Trump had, I think it was 5 campaign stops? It makes me woozy looking at his printed schedule.
I know.
I mean, the man is going from city to city, rally after rally, and it does help. Believe me, these rallies are tremendous opportunities for people who say, I want to go see what this guy's like
in
person.
That's right.
I don't know if I'm going to vote for him, but I'm going to go down and see him. And then they fall in love with him, and then they vote him. But they vote for him. So 5 rallies yesterday. I think he brought the Hunter Biden laptop thing up at every one. He's all over this. And you can't ignore it. The DNI, the Director of National Intelligence yesterday, Radcliffe, confirmed the laptop's legit, kids. It's not Russian misinformation. That's how they're trying to spin it. Well, DNI said, nope, it is not. It is not. It is absolutely legit. It's the real deal. It's a laptop that Hunter Biden dropped off. I mean, apparently it is as it is presented. And here's the tell. Biden campaign hasn't denied it.
No, they have not. If something believe you me, it's a law of physics. If somebody says something about you and it is false, you will say, that is false. Instead, it's been, oh, that's a smear tactic. I have no response to it. And you attack that courageous CBS reporter, who's no conservative, who dared to ask Biden about it outside the campaign plane.
Yep. Meanwhile, bad news from the Supreme Court. They shut down a Republican-led effort to block the extended voting period in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Mark, we may not. Let's just be ready. Talking about what God's got in store for us.
May take a while.
May not have an outcome on November 3rd, which will be awful. It'll be awful if we got to wait till the December or January or whatever.
You know, on a day where we're talking about what to dwell on and what not to, this is probably something to let the game come to us. But I can't not think about it, about the kind of country we have and the kind of idiocy and the kind of short fuses and the kind of venom. And that is, if you think you've seen violence in the streets before, let this election come and let it be in doubt, or God help us, if Trump wins, by that I mean, yay, he wins, but I think we'll have horrible violence in the streets if he wins for a little while until he shuts that crap down, which I hope is quickly. But any period of uncertainty, I think is going to be like a post-apocalyptic movie. I just do. And
Let's hope and pray it isn't. I'm going to be hunkered down on a beach because I'm getting out of New York. I'm not going to be in the city for this. There are already protests every day. They're already draping woke signs on the George Washington statue right over here at Federal Hall. And yesterday, all the windows were shattered out of an NYPD parked vehicle that's about a half a block away from where I'm sitting right now.
Of course.
In Lower Manhattan.
There you go.
It's still happening.
And that was on October 19th yesterday. Imagine how this intensifies in the next 2 weeks. But in these next 2 weeks, you're there, I'm there. Put it in God's hands, heads down. We know what we got to do, so let's do it.
We ain't going anywhere, and let's just stay off Zoom calls. Okay. Have a good day.
God bless. I absolutely will. Thank you. Hey, it's Mike Gallagher. He is ready. Boy, are we all ready. Mike's show is right after this one at 10 on 660 AM The Answer.
Square one, my slate is clear. Rest your head on me, my dear.
From Highway Companion, 2006.
Took a world of tears. It took a long time.
The great Tom Petty.
To get back here.
Square one. Tom would have been 70 years old today, so you're getting a lot of petty from me today.
Try so hard to stand alone.
Gonna get a lot of stuff from us today. It's a busy show. So let's dive in. 866-660-5759. President Trump was on Fox and Friends like moments ago. I got the tape. Let's listen to that. Let's listen to you at 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer. Stick around. Tuesday in progress.
You won and you also lost. Told us you were satisfied, but it never came across.